and welcome. This is Trials and Tribulations. I'm Phil Airy, and I've got my two cohorts.
Sarah Owen Hughes.
And me, Faith Douglas.
We are now going to interview a show gardener, Nick Fryer from Nicholas Edwards Gardens. Nick has been building show, commercial and domestic gardens for more years than any of us would care to admit to, assisting in the build of two gold medal winning Chelsea gardens, is that correct?
Yes.
And a number of other gold medal winning exhibits here and elsewhere. He's going to talk to us about his experiences of landscaping and building show gardens and hopefully give us some top pointers and hints about what to look for in a top-notch show gardener. So a very, very warm welcome to Nick Fryer, the show gardener.
Thank you very much.
So then, Nick, are you ready for this?
I think so.
I have to say, we all are quite good friends, so... We kind of say at the moment, we know quite a lot of juicy stuff about Nick, actually. Like, we could share, we might not share. So, absolutely, you've come to the right talk. Absolutely.
I feel I've been duped into this.
So then, Nick, how exactly did you get into landscaping?
I sort of fell into it when I was 14, and my parents needed a shed building in the garden. And we started building the shed. And one thing led on to another, and another friend's mum wanted a fence putting up, and one thing led to another. Patios were laid, plants were planted, and here we are, 22 years later, still at it.
So, so you do a lot of domestic gardens, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, primarily that's where we started, in the domestic market.
But you also do the show gardens, don't you?
Yes, so in 2014, I popped my show garden cherry here at the Harrogate Spring Flower Show. Yeah. And it's just escalated from there.
What was that garden?
It was... I can't even remember what it was called now.
I don't think I came to that one.
No, I don't think you did.
I think
I can't even remember the name of the garden. Actually, it was Breathing Space. It was Breathing Space.
And what was that about?
It was little... again, it was very naively done.
Yeah.
I'd done it on a shoestring budget. My ex-wife had signed me up to the Harrogate Flower Show. I thought I was actually coming to the Yorkshire Show.
Right.
And I was very surprised when I arrived to see the level of professionalism. And I dropped my trailer off and left sight. And I wasn't sure if I was going to come back and complete the garden. But thankfully I did.
Yeah.
It crashed and burned. I got a silver medal. But
You got silver?
Silver.
That's all right. That's great for first garden.
But I started the networking process and impressed some other people around us. And
you got the bug, didn't you?
I got the bug,
Yes. And once you've done a show garden, you can't not do a show garden, can you?
Well, you say that.
We say that every year. We're not coming back.
There's a lot
again.
I've seen not come back.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because whenever I see you, instead of saying, what are you doing at the flower show, I say, how many gardens are you doing at the flower show? So how many have you done this year, Nick?
Three
this year.
Three show gardens.
Yeah. Which you started building?
Last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday. So he's built them in a week, less than a week.
It's quite a tight time frame here with the 7 days. It's tough.
And it's the very, very start of the show season as well.
It warms you up for the rest of the year. Yeah. I mean, luckily this year, I'm not doing Chelsea or Hampton Court or Tatton. But when you roll on from Harrogate to Chelsea...
Yes, push it closer.
Is that better?
People think you're not loud enough.
It's the only time I've ever seen him be this quiet. I'm enjoying it. I'm just sitting back enjoying that, actually.
Yes, normally when you roll on to the Chelseas and the Hamptons and such afterwards, it's a very intense, long period of hard work. But, you know, 2 weeks to get these three up. And now I can have a rest once we've broken down.
I think the great thing about the show gardens is you start off with a completely blank canvas.
Blank patch of grass.
A patch of grass, and it's a full garden that looks like it's been sitting there forever, doesn't it?
Yes. I mean, again, when you do them really well, a lot of people do you've planted around existing structures on the showground. But, you know, that's when you know you've nailed it.
Yeah. Do you know exactly how many show gardens you've actually built in your career? So far?
No.
Rough guess.
The answer? 40, 50?
40, 50? That's a lot of show gardens.
Yeah,
that's a lot of stress.
Yes. Well, again,
it can be high pressure.
Again, it is high pressure, which I enjoy. And again, you get used to it. It just becomes your job, you know, your day to day.
Yeah.
So I guess it's in some respects, the pressure is released because you've been there, you've done it.
Yeah.
I mean, inevitably, you're going to come up against surprises and curveballs, but you just learn to adapt and be reactive.
So tell us about the process of the show garden. So you come up with an idea, a design?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It depends whether you've been commissioned by someone else that's given you a brief to fit or you're designing yourself. You know, again, for this show, for instance, this year, we were asked to do one for the Fat Badger. So we had to somehow promote the pub.
Yeah.
So the concept is born from that idea.
Yeah.
And obviously with the character of the badger, it sort of lent itself to a woodland bar. Yeah. With woodland characters.
And it's fantastic.
Yeah, but again...
Have you seen the Fat Badger Garden up at the top there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just think you're going stir crazy sometimes.
It's like a bar in the middle of a woodland. Just up at the top. Don't go yet, but if you can... head towards the bandstand. It's right next to... Right opposite the bandstand, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, super. Yeah.
Again, you've got relatively flexible with how big a plot you go for. Obviously, you can't go too small because it will disappear. Yeah, well, again, being asked to do three, I'm trying to manage my time. So, again, I've kept three gardens relatively simple this year because of the time constraints. We've kept them relatively small. But, you know, it's nice to go big. Sometimes going big is actually easier than doing a small garden.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a team behind me. I mean, again, I've done show gardens solely before in the past. But, especially when you're doing three, you need hands on deck.
There's a member of your team sitting at the back there hiding, Owen. Hello, Owen.
Yeah, Owen. Hi, Owen Gregory is right-hand man.
The man behind the badger. So you've done the Fat Badger. What are the other two gardens?
We did Scorched Earth and we did the Stray Garden with the cenotaph with the floral bedding.
Okay, and were they judged this year?
Yes, they were, yeah. It's been judged differently this year. Instead of getting your silvers, golds and such, they've gone for roses. But essentially, I mean, we can break it down to one rose being bronze, two silver, three silver gilt. So I've got a silver gilt and two golds this year.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well done. So what do you love most about your job?
I guess it's... thinking out the box, it's the fact it's eclectic. You know, when I started when I was choosing my career, I actually wanted to be a joiner, bench joiner.
Right.
But when starting into it, I just got sick of doing the same thing day in, day out. So I guess it's the fact you're doing something different every day. I mean, obviously, certain skill sets cross and you end up doing a lot of paving and a lot of fencing, that sort of stuff. But every day is different, essentially. You know, obviously, when the weather's like this, there's no better place to be, but you take the rough with the smooth in this country landscaping.
Last year was slightly different, wasn't
slightly
it?
Slightly different, yeah.
The weather was a bit dodgy last spring.
A bit up and down, but you take the rough with the smooth.
Absolutely.
As it is, you know.
So have you got any of your show gardens going on from the flower show? So quite often you take a project, don't you? You build it at the show and then it actually finds a home?
I mean, that's the ideal, is that you're taking these out of the show garden. They're not going to skips, they're going onwards to a new home. And that's the dream, but often it's not the case, you know. And again, even with some of the bigger Chelsea gardens, that you'll be under the illusion of it being rebuilt, the reality is you can't take them out without smashing them to pieces. So it's a bit smoke and mirrors in that respect, but luckily the Scorched Earth sleeper detail is going to my next job in Ripon.
So the Scorched Earth, I think it's fascinating. I absolutely love that garden. I think it's so great. Tell us a little bit more about the story, because a lot of our gardens, that the show gardens that we build, there's always a story behind them, isn't
there? Yes, I mean, sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. With Scorched Earth, it's just a bit of a statement about global warming and what we're doing to this planet. You know, it's our human... impact on the planet. And, you know, we're getting to that point where... there is a line in the sand, and if we don't change our ways now, what does the future hold? So I think it was a bit of a visual statement.
The garden really portrays that.
Well,
I think,
I hope
because
so.
You've got a really life living side of it.
Yes, the lush green and the almost desert like results of what's to come.
Yeah, it's quite powerful.
Well, I hope so. I'm glad you think
so. I'm impressed.
So.
Well done.
Thank you, Faith. Thank you. The judges weren't.
We could have a word. So out of all the gardens you've done, what would be your most favourite garden, show garden?
My favourite garden I've ever built was Breckland Beauty at Gardeners World Live in 2018, for several reasons. One, it was a very, very naturalistic approach. The idea with it was that we were creating, again, a garden in a woodland setting, which is always fun to do. But the idea was that for the hard landscaping we'd put into the green space, we actually... lifted it up and put it onto the green roof and structure we put in. So we replaced more green space than what we took out by construction.
Yeah.
But again, it came about, we were building at Chelsea for Joe Thompson, and there was a free space at Hampton Court 3 weeks down the line. So actually, during the week of the show, we came back and designed this garden. Hypothetically, not really knowing if we were going to be able to pull it off in the time frame, because we only had 3 weeks before the show started. So it was a real knife-edge design and construction, and we ended up getting one of the 5 golds out of the 30 gardens there. So
well,
within 3 weeks, we pulled it off. So we had 3 weeks to build, but we did it in 2 because we spent a week prefabbing the structure. Oh yeah, I mean, people can spend an entire year going into the planning of these things. Again, the budget will be dictated by either the client or what's in your pot. Again, for that garden, we had no money between us. It was a collaboration between me and a friend, Jody Lidgard. So that was the biggest challenge, was how are we going to fund this garden? You can get sponsors, yeah, but not within 3 weeks of the show starting.
No pressure.
So, again, for these, I've got a relationship with Mike J.A. Jones in Preston. So he's provided us the lion's share of the plants for free. So they're on loan and they will go back. A lot of the time, it's very difficult to get plant sponsors. So that is one of your big costs of a show garden, is actually providing the plants and getting stock that's show ready. You know, planting at Harrogate's always a challenge because it's so early in the season. So you've got a very limited stock, as it were, to go out that's show ready.
You can always pop to home base, can't you?
As Faith did it several times this year.
I had to.
There are actually nurseries that specialise in show plants, and they grow on commission and they grow to order, but you need to put the order in 6 months to a year in advance.
Yes, yeah.
And there are now tree nurseries, particularly in the south, that will rent show trees for your garden and bring it in, because again, that's another expense. Is some of the show gardens, they will charge you every time
they
you use
a
forklift truck. Yeah. They'll charge you £15 a time, and if you say no, turn it round, that's another £15. So you bring in a specialist with the equipment, and they will plant them for you.
Again, trying to move some of those big trees is a very specialist skill in its own right. You know.
And the plants alone are a really high quality, aren't they? So tell us a little bit more about show plants.
Again, it's tricky. Like you say, Sarah, there's a lot of specialist growers that will prep plants for the show. But again, and it comes down to the designer's choice, really, and what you pick out of the nurseries. And then you sit there polishing leaves and preening stock to go
hairdryer,
into the borders.
Hairdryer. Last year I was at Tatton Park, gold medal winning garden, and
just got in there.
Just drop that one in there. Just drop that one in there. And I spent the best part of a day going round a tree that we had selected and was perfect, but not all of the leaves were coming through, and we realised that quite a lot of them had just died back slightly. So I spent a whole day pruning and pruning and pruning ever so slightly, just millimetres off each of the branches to make them perfect. And we were despairing that it was Colrutea, tree of heaven, so beautiful plant, but we were despairing because there was no sign of any of the flowers coming out. And the day before the show, we saw a flower at the very, very top. So we were there with hairdryers, trying to warm the environment, trying to encourage. We put quite a lot of fertilizer on, and we were just warming them to get a couple of them out. And they did come out just in time for judging.
Yeah, again, we often at Chelsea we'll feed the plants with tomato feed and make up a sugar water to basically give them like a Lucozade Sport sugar boost, just to get them looking the best.
There's an awful lot of manipulation, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Are
they, I mean, again, we've wrapped iris flower heads in wet tissue and elastic bands to release them just before the show opens, so they actually bloom for judging.
Yeah,
because there's little tricks of the trade.
It's a show. It's about creating the illusion of perfection. If you planted most show gardens in a garden, you would have nice plants for a week. For that week.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the year, you wouldn't have that interest and variety and diversity.
Well, this is a bit of a gripe of mine, because actually when you plant a show garden, exactly like you say, it's not real. It's not real.
It's
when
not.
I did my first show garden, I planted it like you would plant a normal garden, and it crashed and burned. So actually the judges want something that's not actually real. You know, they want it.
Yeah.
It's basically you're painting a pretty picture for the week.
Yeah.
But again, if you were to plant like that in normal life, it just would
it
not
work
at
so
all. Sorry? Yes.
Percent,
And it's essentially a snapshot in time, isn't it?
So what are the judges looking for? Because again,
I have no idea, Sarah.
I've been doing this for
8 years, and I still haven't figured them out. I mean, again, the judges seem to be.
Well,
it's essentially a person's opinion, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so depending on the judge you get on the day, you can get, I think, very different results. So you've got to take it with a pinch of salt. You know, as long as you're pleased with what you put up.
But there are certain things that they look for. So they look at the quality of the hard landscaping as much as they look at the plants. And a lot of us will look at the flowers and go, oh, I've got that. Oh, that's lovely. But actually, the hard landscaping is as important.
And also, they'll walk on the hard landscaping as well. They will go and sit on, make sure it doesn't wobble.
I would say the biggest key is your brief. I always say you win and lose your garden in the brief, because essentially it's up to you to tell the judges what you're trying to achieve.
So if you
overpromise in your brief, then you're lining yourself up for a fall. Well, they can, because they're assessing your garden against the brief. We're not essentially judged against other gardens. So we can all award the same medals, because we're not in competition. But you can win or lose your garden in the brief. If you overpromise, if you start telling them sort of emotions you're trying to invoke, you line yourself up for fall.
So Nick, just for those that aren't aware, just explain what a show garden brief is.
Essentially, the brief is describing what you're trying to achieve, the sense of space you're trying to achieve, the look you're trying to achieve, and obviously you need to give them a visual garden design.
And you submit it well before the show, so sometimes it can be months in advance. So the trick is to specify perhaps a colour theme, but not specify exact plants, because sometimes if the nurseries have run out of them, or if we've got an early spring, for those who were here last year, it was absolute flood, wasn't it? Floodplain for the whole of the show.
Again,
and this year's fantastic.
Again, the Harrogate Flower Show blossom is normally reliably an Amelanchier.
Yeah.
But this year, when I went to the nursery three weeks ago, they were already in full flower.
So
they'd be over. So again, that's another thing you get picked up on. If you put a blossoming tree in and it's gone over, then you're going to lose points very quickly.
Yeah. You know? So the trick with your brief is to be as brief as possible.
Keep the brief as brief as possible, exactly. Do not overpromise.
So are there any sneaky little tricks that you do in your gardens that you shouldn't be telling people that you're going to share with us right now?
Again, it's all smoke and mirrors. I mean, again, how you build a garden normally and how you build a show garden are two completely different things. You know, it's all about how it looks on the surface, but what's going on underneath is completely different to how you'd normally build a garden. And that's what you learn over the years of doing it, is how to achieve the finished look without going through the hard, laborious substrata work, you know?
So what we used to do, I used to teach at a local college, and the showground here is quite sloping, you may have noticed. And we found 1 year, our garden, we built a wooden frame to put the garden into, and there was a drop of about 15 centimetres from front to back, which is quite significant when you're building a water feature, and it flooded the next door garden. And so what we did was we built up the kick frame to make that level. Theirs wasn't very good. Built it all level. And then we infilled, because that's a huge amount of compost. It's very expensive, and it's a huge amount of compost to be putting in, which might settle down. So we filled it with bags of compost. Because then we
could in the bag, yeah.
Yeah, in the bag. So we don't open the bags up. And we would build them up like bricks and sink the plants still in their pots, and then top dress with normally bark chipping. So we can then lift out those plants and reuse them. And it's easier to water them as well when they're contained in that way.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, there's not a single plant in those three gardens that have been taken out of the pot.
No.
So it's smoke and mirrors. Again, because we're trying to make it easy for ourselves on breakdown. Again, with Chelsea, when you're building Chelsea, you've got 3 weeks to build, but you've got 4 days to break them out.
Yeah.
So it becomes complete carnage. So again, you're always trying to make your life as easy as possible.
And the irony is that they ask you for an environmental statement about how you're going to recycle everything.
Don't get
but
me
again,
started
if you've
on
only got 4 days to get a 3 weeks worth of garden of Chelsea perfection, there are full swimming ponds and things like that in some of them.
Again, and that's the problem, because the judging criteria is so high at Chelsea, is you don't dare cut corners.
Yeah,
so every patio will be laid as it would be in the real in the real landscaping world.
Yeah.
So come breakdown. Hence why I say a lot of these rebuilds don't actually get rebuilt with the same materials that the gardens are. It's a bit, again, smoke and mirrors, sadly.
Yeah.
But again, for Harrogate, there's less pressure on the hard landscaping. and more so on the planting. So we get away with cutting a few more corners.
So
don't tell Nick.
That's Nick Smith, show director, over there. He's probably listening.
Oh, absolutely. A garden has to evolve. I mean, we can, as designers, we can come in and we can lay out the structure of it, and we can start the planting. But if we don't leave you any space as the client to take ownership of that garden, we haven't really done our job properly. I it's nice to leave a project and actually inspire the client to take up the love for gardening themselves. And it does happen surprisingly often. But again, it's nice to then hand over ownership to the client and inspire the love of gardening in them. You know?
And there will always be. If you're gardening for somebody who's never gardened, has got no interest, there will always be, at some stage, they'll say, I've been to Homebase and I've brought back this. And they've told you they want a pale pink and blue, ethereal, gentle garden, and they've brought back orange pansies. And you have to go, it's a bit like when your children bring craft home from school, you go, that's lovely, darling. Let's put that on the back of the fridge. But you do have to factor in that space, because again, if you've done your job properly, the garden breathes and plants spread and they evolve. And actually, you know, if a plant isn't working after 5 years or so, take it out. Mm. You know, it's compost, it's compostable, and it's an opportunity to put something else in and experiment a little bit. Gardens shouldn't be a thing in a picture frame that's perfect. They should be a living, breathing thing. And I'm sure that when all of us go home tonight, we go, maybe I should have mowed the lawn, I should have edged, because you've seen show gardens, but they're there to inspire and to give you ideas.
So just talking about inspiration, you're quite inspirational to young landscapers. You did Young Landscaper of the Year. You helped...
Well, again, we've set up a lot for the Young Landscaper of the Year competition. Luckily, one of my apprentices 2 years ago won the Young Landscaper of the Year competition at Gardeners World Live, which I was extremely proud for him.
Amazing. Good teaching.
Well, thank you very much. it's nice to inspire the next generation. You like to think that you are demonstrating something that they can pick up. And again, that's what I'd like to go into from this next, really, is we can't be on the tools forever.
No.
Yeah.
So to go into the teaching side and inspire the next generation is something I'd love to do. And I mean, I personally think to be good at this job, you need the whole picture. You know, it's no good just being a hard landscaper or a horticulturalist or a garden designer. You need all three. Really, to design, I need to know how much it costs to build and understand the building process to meet a client's brief and budget. So what I'd like to do from this point on is really start some sort of apprentice-based school that would teach the maintenance, the design, the landscaping and the horticultural side, and then let them flourish and specialise from there.
Yeah, really. So if there's anybody out there wanting to go into landscaping, what would be a really good tip for them? Where would they go first?
I don't know exactly where you'd start, to be honest. Again, we just started doing it, and you learn by your mistakes. I mean, Alistair Baldwin's now set up a fantastic course over in is it Harlow Carr you said it?
Howard House
sorry,
yep, Howard House garden design.
So again, I mean, sadly a lot of the teaching seems to be down south, but hopefully we can start to bring it up north and compete with them down south.
There are some apprenticeships around here for young landscapers, but again, the best thing you can do is find a good landscaper at a flower show and say to them, can I come and work for you?
Again,
work during the summer?
You can't learn this game from books. You've got to learn it hands-on. You know, it's the only way you get stuck in and really understand how it all works.
Fantastic.
Great stuff.
Nick, you have been brilliant as always, and you've been very, very clean-mouthed, which we're very grateful for.
Thank you so much.
We're very grateful for stories and none of the swearing, so we're very pleased for that. Ladies and gentlemen, a very, very big round of applause to Nick Fryer of Nicholas Edwards Gardens, our professional landscaper.
Thank you. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. That's been another edition of Trials and Tribulations. Now, if you liked it, please subscribe and follow. But until next time, keep it green.